Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. With me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Shum. How are we doing today?
Doing great, bro.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today, bro?
I am blessed in the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. We are excited, as always, but specifically on this show, we're excited because we are getting back to Typology Tuesday.
Amen.
Okay, and we've been digging into a number of topics, and did you hear that, yeehaw? That is Joe right now getting ready for the Texas tour, which is happening March 25th through the 27th. Okay, we are going to be in the San Antonio area. Specifically, I believe Belverde is where we're going to be, and we're going to be there on the 25th and the 27th. And right in between there, sandwiched in between those two dates, we are going to be in Corpus Christi.
Please pray for us, guys.
Yeah, and guys, not only pray for us, but if you're in that area, anywhere near there, please come and meet us. We would love to meet you guys.
Amen.
We would be totally blessed by it. And come and tell us, hey, I hear you guys on the podcast show. All right, we would love to hear that because we are always so blessed. And before we get into Typology Tuesday, we received a letter from a great brother and sister that we absolutely love. And I will say before I read this, that this brother and sister were the first people that came up to me right after, I think maybe the first or second week that we did a show, to tell me personally how much the shows were meaning to them and their walk with Christ. So I was blessed by that. When Tony said we got a letter, I said, you know what? I'm going to read it online because I know she always has some great things to share. This is what she said. She said, "Dear Joe, Chad, Tony, and all involved in the spreading of the truth in Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to take the time to thank you all for all you do. Our strength in the Lord grows daily thanks to the sacrifice of time that each and every one of you offers. The truth that you speak without fear in the fear of the Lord is a true blessing, and our prayers are with each of you every day. God's word never comes back void, and he clearly has a sense of humor by using the three of you to spread the word."
Amen to that.
"Thanks for the little giggles I get out of your podcast. Chad, I've said it before and I'll say it again. You're an amazing and talented speaker. Your 5:11 news reaches so deep into my soul that I crave Friday morning. I wish that you could do this more often, but at least I can listen over and over again. Thanks so much for the work and dedication that goes into this outreach. You can never know how much I have been blessed by you and your work, and I pray sincerely to the God of your youth that he keeps you well and healthy and continues to use you in mighty ways. Tony, although for the most part you work behind the scenes, your efforts are not unnoticed." Amen to that.
Amen, amen to that.
"You have a contagious laugh, and every time you chime in, I get a chuckle. You do an awesome job, and without you, the ministry you all serve would not be the same.
That's
appreciate
for sure.
All you do and pray for you daily as well." I always tell you guys, it literally doesn't happen without Tony. Like, he's leaving in a couple days, so we have to record early because he's going to be out of town. So literally, it doesn't happen.
A lot around here doesn't happen without Tony. Amen. Jack of all trades, master of some, I call him.
"And Joe, there are no words to describe you. You work so hard for the Lord, and had Lee and I never been directed towards your path, our lives would not be the same. The Lord Jesus changed our lives through you, Joe, and we wanted to offer our sincere gratitude for you and our sincere love and admiration for your family as well as all those that serve so selflessly. We miss you all terribly, and praise God for live stream on Sundays and Wednesdays and the daily podcast shows. I'm writing because I wanted to make it very clear to all of you and any that may need to know that our home is always open. Should there be any need at all, we are here. Our home is your home whenever you're in the area. If you just need to get away or break, We'd love to have you. We're so blessed by all the work the Lord is doing through you. Even though we're so far away now, you are still our family, and our love for you all grows on a daily basis. Please let us know if there's anything we can help with. And we're in debt for eternity to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're in debt eternally to our Blessed Hope family. Love, yours truly, Lee and Christy.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue that who that was until she mentioned my husband, Lee. I go, oh, that's probably Lee and Christy then. Yeah. And we love those guys. We miss them dearly. And we right back at you guys. Keep on keeping on.
Praise God. Amen. And, you know, we always see Lee commenting on the Sunday messages. He's always saying hi from Nampa, Idaho. So so praise God for you, bro. You used to comment on there as well when you were sitting a couple rows in front of me just a few weeks ago. So, yeah, we always encourage our Blessed Hopers inside, not just those that are watching on live stream, but those inside the arena here at in Simi Valley to also share the live feed with you guys, because we know that a lot of you guys are blessed, and we're always blessed by the comments. And like I said, they were two of the first people, and Tony probably knows this to be true as well, that came out to me to say how much the podcast meant to them. And I will say this, that the amount of praise reports that we've gotten is one of the reasons we've been so diligent about making sure that we don't miss, and we come in here, and even though it's a lot of work for all those involved, we know the spiritual benefit that's happening and taking place. I was just talking with another brother that I didn't even know listened to the show that told me how much he was blessed this last weekend when I was at a wrestling tournament. So praise God. I'm really, really excited. And I'm excited to get back into Typology Tuesday and the Days of Creation, right? We're going back to that?
Yes, definitely, man.
All right, well, praise
and
the Lord.
We, brothers and sisters, just let you know, pray for us, because I'd love to do Typology Tuesday every Tuesday. We obviously have a program that shows up every Tuesday, but it requires a lot of deep study, as you can imagine, when you go through the studies with me. And keep in mind, I'm juggling literally, I don't know, man, more than six, because I'm doing video, working on videos too. Messages a week that I have to have done. Six of those I have to have done, and then working on more than one video at a time, along with pastoral counsel, pastoral ministries, counseling somebody, encouraging somebody right before this, before I came on, that I didn't, you know, you never know what you have to go through. After I leave here, I'm going to go visit someone, Lord willing, in the hospital, quite a drive away out of the town that I'm in. And so, you know, I'm always saying, please pray for us, because I'm juggling a lot. And I'd love to do Typology Tuesday every Tuesday, but I'm trying to get a lot of them in, because as you'll see, even from this study, there's a lot that goes into it. And my hope and prayer, it's all a labor of love. We don't have to do all these teachings. I could do one Sunday a night, or one Sunday, I'm sorry, a week, and then just say, hey, let's have, you know, home groups and Wednesdays, and my life would be way easier. But you know what? I serve an audience of one. That's the Lord Jesus Amen. Christ. He gave himself for me. He put his love in my heart and our hearts for you guys. So we want you guys to grow in the Lord. So I'm going to do whatever I can to build up the body of Christ while I'm here, as long as he gives me strength and wisdom and health to where I can open my mouth and preach. So it's all by his grace. So please keep us in prayer. Having said that, I have a lot of cool things I want to share with you, which I think we only have like 4 minutes left. No, we have more than four, you know. But I'll skip around a little bit. But I'm going to get the main stuff in. And I mentioned last time we'll be dealing more specifically with some of the stuff stated in Genesis. But I've let you know from the get go, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, those 6 days of creation, beginning with day one, and even before day one takes place, when the earth is in a terrible state, when it's created with darkness over the face of the deep, and it's tohu wabohu, as the Hebrew says, formless and void, with darkness over the face of the deep. That's all a picture of God saving us, of the story of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're still on day one. And I know it seems like we've been on day one for several months, but keep in mind, probably more than half the messages haven't been on Typology Tuesday, although we've had, I don't know, 8, 9, I'm not sure how many messages on day one. But each one will make you think, hopefully, and we actually jump around the scripture quite a bit, so you're not just looking at a couple verses. We're looking at the big picture, and day one is the most significant day. And right now, I want to talk about how we're made of dust, and how significant that is, and how beautiful that is, and how humbling that is, and how at the same time, it should make us incredibly grateful and thankful. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The heaven was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the deep." So in Genesis 1, 9, and 10, we read, "Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth. Okay, and in the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. I was going to try to do dust and water today, because water is very significant as well, especially when you look at how us humans are created a lot like the earth, with about the same percentage of water and landmass, so to speak. It's quite interesting. That's because I believe the earth is a picture of what God does with the earth in these 6 days, is a picture of what he does with us in redemption. But we won't deal with water, but we're going to deal mostly with dust today. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed man out of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now keep in mind, that's exciting, man. We're made of dust, but at the same time, God breathed into us, made us living beings. Now, it's quite interesting because we're literally made of dust. And I think this is one of the coolest things, and it really encourages me in my walk to know that I'm made of dust. On one hand, it keeps me very humble. Look at the dirt. I'm made of that stuff, man. Another way, it makes me just want to praise God, because he took that dust, he formed it, and he breathed upon it, and he brought life into us. And on the other hand, it's what God can do with dust. And he has a high calling for us dust balls, you know, us dirt clods, so to speak. And it's interesting. I wanted to go here because keep in mind, we've been paralleling 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 4, and 5 with what Paul states in those passages, and how he basically lets us know by things that he states in those passages that whole picture of the primordial earth before the first day of creation was finished was a picture of what God's doing in us. And part of that is making us out of dust, which we see in chapter 2, and we see the earth itself in chapter 1. And I've used this over and over again. That earth, formless, void, empty, right? Darkness over it. That was a prophetic, artistic production of what God does for each of us, because we were all in that state before we got saved. And what he does in that first day, the bringing forth the light, that's Jesus. Speaking forth the word, that's Jesus, right? Sending forth his spirit, that's part of the triune Godhood. Let us make man in our image, that's the whole triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at work in the creation. And one of our Typology Tuesdays, I went through Genesis chapter 1, and I proved to you from the grammar that's used in the Hebrew and comparing it with other texts of scripture that the whole triune Godhead is at work in this prophetic, artistic production of what they did in the earth as a picture of what they would do in us, and that the earth, and not just the earth, I proved, I said, I can show you in God's creation itself that there's pictures of the plan of redemption. And I showed you in one of our studies that even the temple itself on earth, which is a whole picture of Christ and the plan of redemption, is modeled after the temple in heaven, you know, which was part of the creation of the heavens and the earth, which so right, not only on earth, but in the heavens itself, there's a picture of God's creative plan in redemption. Mind blowing to say the least. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we read, and this is beautiful because Paul takes the creation picture and says, this is what God's doing in us. And we've looked at this before, but now I want to apply it to dust. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, he said that in Genesis 1, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But look at the next verse. We've meditated a lot upon that verse, right? But look at the next verse. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Yeah. Paul's continuing with that thought. We're made of dust. We're the earthen vessels, but we have this treasure. You guys, Chad, Tony, who's the treasure that's in the earthen vessels? Come on, Tony. Who's the treasure in the earthen vessels?
Jesus.
Praise God. Absolutely, bro. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Okay? Now, he says something really heavy after that that really relates to us being dust. That's really, really interesting that we'll get back to by the end of this message. I don't know about you guys. Doing my work back here.
You caught me by surprise.
I know, bro. I know I did. I saw you typing away, bro.
You love pop quizzes. So
yeah. Yeah, I have to look behind your computer to see that was going on there. But, you know, it's interesting because even, you know, science catches up. I laugh at science, man, science, because they get so much wrong, but they've been catching up to God's word, God and his word, in certain ways. I mean, they now admit the universe is expanding. Over and over, God says the universe is expanding. He stretches out like a tent. They admit now, almost all of them, that yes, the Bible's right. There was a beginning of the universe, because they used to say this, you know, the static state theory, the steady state theory, that everything's static. Even Einstein went for that. So it was proven that we had a beginning. And they're catching up to God's word in various ways. Give them some time. But again, they're suppressing the knowledge of the truth too. So there's this spiritual war. So many of them will never admit it. But NASA also found out, the NASA Ames Research Center conducted a study where they discovered that human beings are actually made of dust. That they're made from the dirt that makes up the crust of the earth, just as God revealed to us several thousand years ago, Genesis 2:7. NASA's study revealed that the same 59 elements that are found in human beings are found in the clay or the dust of the earth. In fact, Reader's Digest reported on that, did an article on that some time ago. How Life on Earth Began was the name of the Reader's Digest article. They state, quote, that the biblical scenario of the creation of life turns out to be not that far off the mark. Oh, really?
Moses must have just been the greatest scientist of all
time. Yeah, incredible, huh? Truth be known, brothers and sisters, the biblical account shows stunning accuracy, 100% accuracy in what God had done. And the cosmologists who are now acknowledging, you know, that we're made from the dust of the earth, they want to throw something in there. They want to say, oh, but you know what? Because of the Big Bang, we're really made, you know, from the dust of stars too. Stardust, yeah. But they're having a hard time with that, you know, because they're trying to find, one of the elements that we're made of is phosphorus. And I think this is interesting because phosphorus is not a mere, like, you know, it's not a trace element in the body, like say iodine or, you know, chromium or, you know, silicone or copper or nickel or selenium. It's a essential nutrient for all of life. You have to have phosphorus or you can't exist. It's important. God placed it in our bodies, just like carbon and oxygen. We need it. But scientists, they're saying, hey, we're actually, you know, we're made from stardust, you know, when all the elements that we're made of are from the dust right here, just below our feet. We're doing this radio show outside in the park and our feet are in the dirt. No, not really. We're in a studio. But you know what I mean, guys. So it's interesting because we're made in God's image and we're actually made of phosphorus. But what's interesting is finding phosphorus, because they've got satellites, they have all kinds of different studies they've done and where they're able to collect what the elements that make up stardust to a degree, but they've never found, guess what? It's like finding Waldo. They haven't found phosphorus. The only place you find phosphorus so far is in the dust of the earth. And I just think that's so awesome. But it's also interesting to me too, to think that, wow, this dirt that we're made of has 59 elements. We have these 59 elements, but it's important that we remember in a devotional way in regard to our walks and our devotion to Jesus and how we live before God and how we live before men, that we obey Micah 6, 7, and 8. And he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy or kindness, and to walk humbly before your God. We need to remember that we're made of dust. And the godly among us, those who are righteous in this world, will remember that. The Bible says of Abraham that he answered and said, behold now, I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord, and I am but dust and ashes. I love that. That's Genesis 18:27. He was a humble guy. God chose him because he was humble. God chose Moses because he was the humblest guy on earth. You need to remember that you're made of dust. We're not made of steel, okay? Job 30:19. He has cast me into the mire, and I am become like dust and ashes. Chapter 42, verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself, I repent in dust and ashes. In contrast, the wicked want to see themselves as, you know, stars that are, you know, made of, think of the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar. He was a picture of the Antichrist. He had a dream about the coming Antichrist, a dream about his own kingdom and the kingdom, the Grecian kingdom and the other kingdoms that would follow. And remember the statue, it was a head of gold, you know, a breast of silver and a belly of bronze and, you know, legs of iron, you know. And in contrast, when God shows his view, when Daniel's giving a dream of the coming kingdoms, they're like a lion, they're a wild beast, a bear, you know, a leopard, you know, a diverse kingdom, which is made up of all those different kingdoms, according to Revelation 13. And that's how God sees them, as wild beast. But it's important that we understand, as brothers and sisters in Christ, that God's made us from dust, and the world exalts itself as though it's more special than it is in their own eyes. And the irony here is those who exalt themselves will be humbled. But those who humble themselves and remember that they're but dust will be exalted and actually go beyond the you know, so many of the precious metals of this world. You know, in fact, Job said specifically that, you know, that he was like dust, right? But he said he knew that the Lord was done with him, and he went through his trials. Chad just read a book on Job. What did he say he'd come forth as?
Oh, as gold.
Come forth as gold. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Come forth as gold. So let's keep in mind who we are, and let's be humble before the Lord. God will give more and more grace to the humble, but will resist the proud. And those who humble themselves in the mighty hand of God will be exalted in due time. This lifetime is short. Be humble before the Lord, brothers and sisters. It's interesting because in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, we have this incredible explanation that humans are, you know, so close to being, you know, we're not only made out of dust, but energized and animated by the breath of God. But Psalm 103, God reminds us that he cares about us and that he knows that we're made of dust, that he's patient with us. Remember one time some years back, years and years ago, my wife was going through a really hard time. She was going through, we all go through trials, and she was going through a trial, and I walked in on her. She's reading her Bible, you know, and she had tears in her eyes, but she had this beautiful smile, and she's just, I go, hey, what's up? What are you reading? She goes, this scripture just blessed me so much. And she read it to me, Psalm 103, verse 14. For he himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. And, you know, you may be going through hard times being a mom, a young mom, an older mom, a grandparent, and struggling with, you know, things in relationships, a spouse, whatever, you know, work, whatever. Whatever you're going through, the Lord is mindful that your frame is weak. He's mindful that you're made of dust. Isaiah 64, 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. I love the fact that he fashioned us, that he made us out of clay. But guess what? He's not done with us. He doesn't say you were our potter. Listen to this, guys. He says you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. I love that. So we are the work of his hands, as Job had already said as well. Lamentations 4, 2, the precious signs of Zion, it says, weighed against the fine gold, it says, how they are regarded as earthen jars, the work of the potter's hand. Job concurs, your hands have made me and fashioned me. You have made me like clay. But he says, when you're done with me, as I noted earlier, I'm going to come forth as gold. We have an incredible future in the Lord. And his hands are actually forming us as we submit to him in faith. And we're to be made vessels to his glory. In fact, brothers and sisters, when you're going through trials and you feel pressure against you, right, might be feeling some pressure right now. Might be going through some tough times right now. It's important that you keep in mind that the Lord is our potter. In his providence, he uses situations, and he allows situations in our lives to fashion us so we become more like Jesus, because he made us in his image. Amen? So it's important that you keep that in mind as you go through trials and you feel pressure and you feel the grip. You feel, you know, sometimes we bring trials on ourselves, okay? And you can't say, well, when you've dived, you know, you dove into something evil and say, oh God, what are you doing? No, but when God allows things that you can't handle otherwise, or not can't handle, but you couldn't have avoided otherwise, you have to say, okay, Lord, I don't know what you're doing here, but I'm going to trust you, because I'm going to trust the potter's hands, and that you've made me from dust, and you are going to make me and bring me forth as gold. And you know what? Sometimes we have to go through the kiln. You know, when pottery is made, it's not just formed by the hands. It's often put in a kiln. It's put in the fire, where it's feels the heat of the intense fire to where it becomes, you know, something that becomes sturdy and hard to break. And that's, the Bible says, when you go through various trials, to consider all joy, because the Lord's working in you. The scriptures say, don't be surprised. 1 Peter 4, Peter says, don't be surprised regarding the fiery trial in which the Lord is going to try you. You shouldn't be shocked. That's part of the reason we're here, is to go through the kiln, go through the fire, feel the pressure, and so forth. Now, this is important, because as you trust the Lord through your trials, as, you know, these dirt clods that we are, Christ will show up as we look to him. And it'll strengthen us, and we'll be empowered. In fact, we read in 2 Corinthians 4, and I'm going to read beyond being having this treasure, these earthen vessels. Look at the context in which Paul brings it up. We have this treasure, that's Jesus, in the earthen vessels, right? The light shined out of darkness, right? God came to us. He made us alive, the verse before that. But he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about the body and dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Paul's talking about the believers like himself, that are on the mission field, that are suffering for the name of Jesus, that are going through all kinds of brutal tribulations and attacks. But he's reminding them that we are these earthen vessels, but we have Jesus in us, and he doesn't let us go through more than we can handle. In fact, Paul said that if we look to him and we're trusting in Jesus, that there's no trial that can overtake us. And that word prosmos can be translated trial or temptation in 1 Corinthians 10:13. That with every temptation or trial, God's faithful and will not allow us to go beyond or be tested or tempted beyond that which we're able, but he'll give us the strength, amen, to be overcomers, and will always give us a way to overcome and to come out of it. In fact, Paul says later in 2 Corinthians 4, that same chapter where he talked about we're going through all these different things, but we look to Jesus and we have this treasure in the earthen vessels. And as we go through these trials, that light, Jesus, shines all the more with these living epistles, chapter 3. Then at the end of chapter 4, he says that we're not to lose our sight of the big picture. We're not to lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, what's that? Our light and momentary troubles, yes, compared to what we got in heaven, whatever you're going through right now is light and momentary. It's not as heavy as the riches that you're going to have in Jesus in heaven. It's not eternal. It's momentary. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. There's the weight and eternity of it. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So this is awesome. The Lord wants to fashion us as vessels that he can use for his service. But brothers and sisters, you must surrender to Jesus. You must say, Lord, I'm going to look to you through this trial. I'm not going to whine and mope and complain and blaspheme you and curse you and die, as Job was told to do by his wife. But I'm going to endure. It doesn't mean you won't have times where you're sad or you whine a little bit. But you have to pick yourself up in Jesus, or ask him to pick you up and get up in Jesus and say, Lord, give me strength to see the big picture and to know that you're risen, and I'm going to share, just like I share the sufferings, I'm going to share in the power of your resurrection. In fact, Paul said we have to choose to become these clay jars. We have to choose to become these, I should say, vessels of honor in 2 Timothy 2:20-22. Some misuse Romans 9, and they act like since God's providential and is sovereign over the clay pots that he makes, that you have no choice. Nothing can be further from the truth. He's providential, but the context is whether you're going to have faith or not, and whether you're going to be a vessel of his grace or a vessel of wrath. In fact, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:20-22, now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call upon the Lord from a pure heart. So brothers and sisters, you can choose. You can choose to be a vessel of God's honor, a vessel to his honor, a vessel of grace by simply turning to Jesus, being cleansed by his precious blood, walking in his righteousness. In Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah is taken to see the potter at the potter's wheel. And I don't have time to read the whole thing, but it's so beautiful because the pottery in his hand becomes decayed and spoiled. And he says it's because it chose to do evil, where he says if it chooses to do right, he'll bless it and he'll bless it and he'll fashion it for a blessing. And he says this is how the nations work, his judgment of the nations. If a nation that he's going to bless becomes evil, he'll bring judgment upon it. But if a nation that he's going to judge repents and does right, he'll bless it. So you can choose to be an honor of blessing. You can be encouraged in the Lord and walk in his righteousness. And it's imperative that we get the big picture. I want to say this in closing, brothers and sisters. I want you to realize when you look at the potter's hands, the one who's forming you, the Lord Jesus Christ, those hands are perfect. They never make mistakes. Yield yourself to his hands. Number two, realize that there's holes in those hands, that there's scars in those hands. And those holes and those scars speak of his love for you, because those holes and the scars in the hands that are molding us are that way because he came down, became a man, and died for our sins so he could redeem us and remake us. Amen? And number three, no matter what you go through, Jesus said of his sheep who continue to trust him and follow him, quote, of his hands, listen to this, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Brothers and sisters, continue to submit to his wonderful hands and let him mold you as dust that becomes gold in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-JC-TRUTH. 528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.